T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Now the 0-2 swing and a miss, strike 3. Breaking ball got him. Not one of Rendon's better swings. He was fooled. Swing and a miss, strike 3. Soto with a big swing came up empty. That's out number 1. Strikeout number 2 for Kyle Hendricks. The 0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss on a beautiful changeup by Kyle Hendricks. 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike 3. Hendricks has set down 11 in a row. And the 0-1 pitch. Ground ball to Bright. He's got it. Throws to Rizzo. And this ball game is over. The Cubs have won the ball game and the series.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. And that was the third of 3 Sunday night baseball games on ESPN.
So yes, not again until June.
We won't be seeing them for a little while.
Yeah, they moved the game on June 9th, I believe, to prime time against the Cardinals.
That's too soon.
Nah, you know, I can see why people
3 weeks in a row
have a problem with the 3-person booth at ESPN. I'm not going to defend it, but I do think that wasn't as bad last night. And last night, I thought personally that the repetition and them being around the team as often as they had lended them a little bit of insight. I think they made some interesting points at different times, whether it was referring to Anthony Rizzo's plate coverage and the way that he takes advantage of that. I think they use that. You know, obviously, it's something if you watch the Cubs a lot, you understand, but they do watch the Cubs a lot now lately. Then he hits a home run. They talked about Albert Almora. A-Rod made the point about how he crushes inside fastballs, and he did that twice. They made a couple other observations that were obvious that they've, you know, been paying attention to what they've been watching. So I did not have as big of a problem with the booth last night, even though A-Rod had one of those moments where, you know, everyone has at times when he kind of mixed up his names and referred to the Cubs shortstop.
What happens if Russell Addison makes that play?
Russell Addison.
You know, I got to tell you,
it's going to happen.
When you hear that, the only thing you think is, boy, how far has he fallen? How far has Addison Russell fallen from potential MVP to
getting your name mixed up?
Exactly. A guy whose name you don't even remember correctly. Russell, whatever that guy's name is. You remember that guy?
Yeah. That kind of role player on a good team. That's kind of where he is.
Well, I mean, it speaks volumes in a way. I know he just, he just made an error.
He did just make an error. He replaced Javi Baez, who
said his name correctly many times.
Exactly. And people know who that is if you're a Cubs fan. And he replaced Javi Baez with a sore heel, which Javi says is not going to be something that keeps him out of the lineup today. Joe said that he's going to kind of wait and see, but Javi said he's fine. You kind of want Javi Baez in there, don't you, against Jake Arrieta? You want your best on the field tonight at Wrigley Field.
Listen, it's a very long season, and you want your best always, but what's best for him is always what you should be considering. So, you got your medical people, you do an honest assessment of the guy. If you feel it would do him more to wait, who cares? But, I mean, in the large scale of this season and of Javi Baez's career, who cares about Jake Arrieta coming to town?
True. That's a fair point. It is May 20th. I don't want to get too carried away with the moment and get swept away with the enthusiasm and, oh, tonight's a big matchup because you have Darvish.
October starts in March.
Yeah, the urgency is there, and the Cubs have responded to that. I think that going into Washington, taking 2 out of 3 from the Nationals was a good response to losing 2 out of 3 in Cincinnati. And you lose those games to the Reds, and you're like, oh, boy. You know, and Cubs fans were like, oh, boy, it's the Reds. What are you doing?
It's good to get back on the winning track.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that it's so early in the season, and it's great that things are going the way they're going, but there will be adversity. You'll see it come up, and they'll have to overcome it. Things are not ever as you know, we're all day to day. It's all week to week. You never know what's out
You'd
there for
him,
you.
Then?
What's hitting
you?
Yeah.
Would not play him tonight.
I'd be very careful about it. I would be very careful about it.
When they took him out of the game last night, it was 6-1, I believe. They had a 5-run lead, and maybe that contributed to the thinking, why risk it now? Why you have a 5-run lead, the bullpen can protect it. Maybe it's not something that would cause him to miss a start.
He
hasn't yet.
Okay, maybe he won't, but he has played a ton of games.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is, I think when we look at Jake Arrieta coming to Chicago, we view it through the fans' eyes. We don't view it through management's eyes. What is there that they have to prove about Jake Arrieta? That you know, the simple fact is, and again, I don't want to. I understand Dustin is probably all fired up about it. I understand Cub fans are probably, you know, whoever doesn't like you is going to make this a statement on his career. But the fact of the matter is, or his Cubs career, that there's no reversing that decision. That decision was made. Yu Darvish is going to be here.
Right.
He's going to be here for a while. He's going to be paid for a while anyway. So it's a danger to put too much on one outing.
Well,
and
I think that's wise, and I think that's a really good way to look at it, because when you look at Darvish versus Arrieta, you are looking at the way that a lot of Cubs fans, either or, he's replacing Arrieta. When, in fact, I don't know if the Cubs erred in letting Arrieta go as much as in the way they replaced him. It's kind of like the Bears with Alshon Jeffrey. You go back to that whole discussion when that happened. It wasn't necessarily letting him go that was the problem. They never replaced him.
Yes.
And the Cubs made maybe a prudent financial decision in letting Jake Arrieta go at the time that they did and not paying what he thought he was worth. Because, Mully, in 40 starts since he left the Cubs, Jake Arrieta is 14-15 with a 3.98 ERA in 228 innings, 185 strikeouts, 80 walks. That's not a $125 million pitcher. That's pretty good. That's serviceable. That's a lot of things, but that's not necessarily...
That would be the ace of the White Sox staff, but that's not the bar.
That's not the bar.
Okay, but would you rather have Darvish for 6-126 or Jake for 3-75?
No, no, but I agree with that, Kevin.
That was the decision. It was down to which one you bring
back. That was not the decision.
I don't think so.
Hold on a second, because think about it this way, Kevin. You know, when it came to Jake Arrieta, they went back to their basic thing, which is we're paying a player for what he can do moving forward, not for what he did moving backward. So while you look at life going forward, you're informed by going backward. So they established the idea that he couldn't do it. That's fine. They chose not to pay him. That's fine. To turn around and get Darvish and then do that with him, because they paid him for what he had done backward, not for what he was going to do moving forward. And that's where they made the mistake.
If possible, Darvish's failures have magnified Arrieta's importance in Cubs lore and how big he is. Because,
yes,
you know, you miss him more because he's gone. Because even if he has been somewhat mediocre with the Phillies, you think that, boy, that Jake that we remember is the legendary guy.
Right.
And he was a legend here. And you'll never be able to duplicate 15-16 because they were terrific and historic. But Darvish failing to the extent that he has makes you just say, oh, gosh, Jake, you never would have been, you know, you never would
have been this bad. It's very possible that they made the right decision about Jake Arrieta. They just then made a wrong decision about Yu Darvish. And I think
that's what I'm trying to say.
We look for causality,
yeah,
as if the one was the other. Oh, they chose him. No, they just made two decisions. One was good and one was bad.
I guess what we don't know, and maybe we have to revisit, did they not go in all in on Jake Arrieta because they thought they were going to go all in on Yu Darvish? Was one decision influencing the other? I don't know that that's true, and I don't think that it is. But if that's the case, okay, then they blew it. But if they were deciding on Arrieta based solely on what you said, we're not going to pay him for what he did in the past.
Right.
We're going to project on what he's not going to do in the future.
And they were right. The projection seems pretty.
They were right.
Yeah.
That's the thing that will get lost tonight.
But then they turned around and made a terrible projection with you. So.
They were right about Arrieta, but terribly wrong about Darvish, so we're confusing the answers.
So far, and again, he's got...
So far, it's hard.
He's got, what, 4 or 5 more years?
Gosh, I know.
312-644-6767. Is this a fans game? Is this a game? Is this going to be some sort of a, I don't know, some sort of a statement about what Theo and Jed are doing with this team moving forward? Or is it simply a fans game that you love because of the names involved? 312-644-6767, Mullion Hall on the score.
It was right before I catch it, and I didn't twist it or anything. I just went too hard to the ground, and, you know, my heel kind of got, you know, jammed a little bit, but all good. It just all depends how it goes tonight, and, you know, I want to play tomorrow, obviously.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the score. That's the voice of Javier Baez. Mm-hmm. He's telling you what the heel happened with his heel.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That was bad.
312-644.
I would expect that out of me, but not you.
Boo. Kevin is in Palatine. Morning, Kevin.
Morning, Kevin.
Hey, morning, guys. As far as tonight, I just want it to be over and move on. Tonight reminds me a little bit of opening day. We're going to make way too much of what happens tonight. Cubs have bigger things. They're trying to, you know, win this division and get to the World Series. What bothers me way more is the fact that 2 years ago they could have traded Schwarber straight up for Verlander, and they didn't do it. This team would be insanely great if they had Verlander. One last point. Can you guys get Frank Thomas on next Sunday after the Sox go 0-7 this week because they're actually playing real teams and ask him how close they are to winning the division? Thanks, guys.
Well, we're not on next weekend.
Thanks. We're not on Sunday. I'm not working next. It's Memorial Day weekend.
5 to 9 every day.
Every day.
5 a.m. live at 5 every morning.
I'm considering weekdays. Going to Minneapolis to catch one of these games next week.
Are you really?
I'm considering.
That would be fun.
Yeah. You should do it. Are you going to drive up there?
Maybe. We'll see.
I've It'd driven up there. Drive.
It's in the works right
It'd
now.
It'd be a nice drive.
But if they go 0-7, you know, on the road trip.
If they take 2 out of 3 from the Astros, is that a yes?
I think that would be something of a miracle, David.
I've always flown up there, right? And it's, you know, there's like a light rail system. It gets you downtown. You can get a cheap hotel. You got the Mall of America.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I've never been there. The last time I went on an out-of-town trip to see the White Sox, though, it was in Kansas City 3 years ago, when they blew that 7-run lead in the bottom of the ninth inning.
Oh, God.
So I've got a great track record, Kevin, in the AL Central.
They've got 4 games against the Astros. So what would it take for the White Sox to do in the 4-game series for you to get to Minneapolis? 2-2?
Win one.
Win one?
Just one, man.
Don't get swept and you're on your way?
In Houston, that's a low bar.
You better start packing. I don't know.
Well, they won a World Series there. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Exactly.
I would say, Kevin, and I say this in great sincerity, Moon took the train, I think, the last couple times. And I remember him telling me one time he took the train and had, you know, I think he was with Mike Downey, and they shared a bottle of vino. So that might be a fun trip for you.
All right, I'll call Moon.
He'll bring the vino. Joe is at O'Hare. Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thanks for taking a call.
Sure.
I kind of agree with your last caller. I think way too much attention to just another game in the schedule for tonight. I understand people's love for Arrieta. I disagree with, I think they made two bad decisions, because however you slice it, Arrieta gave you 200, would have given you 200 and some innings that you didn't get near from Darvish, and the strain that put on the bullpen last year cost them a possible run deep in the playoffs and maybe even a shot at the playoffs.
Yeah, but they eventually got Cole Hamels, right? So, I mean, they replaced you in the lineup. And
yeah, okay.
But Jake threw 172 innings last year.
You spent double to replace Arrieta, though.
Well, but Joe, let me ask you this question, and I mean this sincerely. I'd like to get your opinion. Let's play what might have been. Let's say they signed Arrieta to a $125 million deal. How would you feel about Jake now, if he was
a 500 pitcher?
He's a 500 pitcher, and he made $125 million.
Game, and I think he would. I don't think he'd be a 500 pitcher on the Cubs. I think the Cubs lineup just a little better than the Phillies.
That's interesting. That's a fair assessment. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. And look, everyone will be better when this game is over, maybe because of the hype. But you know what? This is what happens when you have Darvish against Arrieta. Yeah, it's going to be different. He told the Philadelphia newspaper it's going to be different. He told the Phillies beat reporters it's going to be different. And I can guarantee you, no, I can't guarantee you, but I would suggest that Jake Arrieta has thought about this start. Every day his phone didn't ring in that offseason while he was waiting to get a call from the Cubs. And he wants to stick it to the Cubs. He's a competitor. You better believe it.
This means a lot more to Jake Arrieta than it does to anybody on the Cubs, including you, Darvish. I'm not saying I think we're going to judge you, Darvish, based on how he performs in this game, but I think that it's just another game for him. For Jake Arrieta, this is the World Series.
For you, Darvish, it's another game where he has to pare down his pitching repertoire and come up with control and command early. And don't walk anybody. And, hey, strike out 11 again if you want. That'd be great. Be focused and don't lose focus. For Jake Arrieta, this is like, okay, they gave up on me. They didn't want me. I'm going to show them what they're missing. He's going to get caught up in the emotion, and he's going to go out there in shirt sleeves, even though it's going to be 50 degrees outside. And it's Chris Bryant kid. He'd probably have a tank top on underneath. That's all he's going to wear. And he's gonna be focused. He's going to be locked in. You're going to probably see the best of Jake Arrieta tonight.
And it's true, if the Cubs had Verlander as opposed to Jake or you, Darvish, that they'd be in better stead.
Then they would not have gotten Cole Hamels, though, right?
I'd take Verlander over all those guys.
I think I would too.
Let's be honest about it.
But would you have given up Schwarber for Verlander? Was that the proposed trade?
Who would
lead off?
But I think that I think any proposed trade or any imagined trade with Schwarber, you know, you didn't know even when he went off the boil after the World Series, you didn't know what you had with him.
Mm-hmm.
You still don't kind of – it's hard.
With Schwarber?
Yeah. I think we have a better feel for who he is or what he is.
He's much streakier than I ever imagined he would be.
But that at that point, you thought he was headed to this unbelievable career. He had been so good. It was amazing. And it's just – it was obviously something that you couldn't keep up, but what an incredible – I mean – you don't win that World Series without the guy, and you didn't know what kind of magic he had in him. And
at the time you were flirting with the idea of bringing Verlander here, he was, in fairness, not pitching at the level he has pitched at since joining.
Yes, but I mean,
and he's expensive too.
You know, Schwarber is close to being Schwarber Kyle. That's where we're at. Okay,
thank you, A-Rod.
That's ridiculous. What happens if Russell Addison makes that play?
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider, WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast, @ John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. John Heyman joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, John.
Hey,
John. How are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good.
We're doing great, and we're looking forward. Tonight, you got Jake Arrieta coming into town to take on you, Darvish. Isn't that a beauty? That's going to be fun.
Yeah, that was absolutely their choice, and they actually gave Arrieta the choice to come back at about that same rate. I think it was a contract similar to what Darvish ultimately signed for, and Jake decided he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to make that amount of money per year, and he wanted to go on the free agent market. Some people think he made the right decision, going to Philly and getting more per year, less overall, and some people are still scratching their head. I think part of the issue was he felt with what he had done for the Cubs that he shouldn't have been paid less than Lester per year, and I think that's what it came down to, because he did like Chicago. So it was an unusual choice. I don't think the Cubs were shocked. I think they understood where he stood, and probably surprised the rest of us by not taking that deal, though.
Well, John, when you look at Jake Arrieta since he left the Cubs, 40 starts, 14-15 record, 3.98 ERA, 228 innings, which is a pretty durable guy, takes him out every fifth day, but did the Cubs make a mistake?
You know, only in that you wonder about Darvish. You know, Darvish is doing much better this year than he did last year. That contract looks better now than it did during last season. I don't blame the Cubs. They made him a reasonable offer. You know, per year, that's a fair offer, I think, and he didn't take it. So I'm not blaming the Cubs at all, and In regard to Arrieta, the fact that it didn't work out, I don't blame them. You know, should he have gotten the same deal Lester got at that point in his career? Probably not. So, yeah, I think the Cubs probably did the right thing. The only question is Darvish going to be worth it?
Yeah, it's possible that you know, they could have been right about one decision and wrong about the other one. I think that with Darvish, anyway, yeah, we were wondering earlier, what if Jake had signed here? Would he be would he be more than a 500 pitcher? Would the run support have been there for him? Would we be having a different conversation, or would people be down on him right now like they are on you? Not you, John.
Yeah, no, I understand. There are people down on me as well. I'm not taking that personally. Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been spectacular for that amount of money. He has not been spectacular. He does answer the bell. He is out there every fifth day. He was not great, particularly at the end of last year. He's been okay this year. He's certainly nothing like the Cy Young pitcher, and I think that's what the analytics were saying. I think that's what the velocity was saying. And, you know, he would have done the same, I think, with the Cubs as he's doing now, which is okay, but nothing spectacular.
Talking with John Heyman, Big Time Baseball podcast hosted with Josh Lewin, Radio.com Sports MLB Insider. Rotation of guest hosts. Featured guests include fellow Radio.com insiders Joe Girardi, Bob Nightingale. New episodes debut every Monday and Thursday through the end of MLB postseason. John, what did you make of Joe Maddon's protest of Sean Doolittle's toe tap and what statement that made in defense of Carl Edwards Jr.?
Yeah, in this case, I don't mind it. It's nice to stick up for your guy, I guess. You know, it didn't work out. He does protest a lot. I think he's got a reputation around the league. I don't think the umpires love him as much as we like Joe Maddon and how entertaining he is for the fans and some of his players. You know, I think the owners in the league are starting to tire of him in general. But I didn't mind this one. If he's doing it to stick up for one of his players, it was not the same thing, the same deal, though. So I understood what the league did.
Yeah, it was a premeditated thing, in my opinion. You know, he knew they were waiting for Sean Doolittle to come in to have a protest. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, he's always thinking of a protest. He's a good pro. He should have been a lawyer, probably, but he's doing okay as a manager, I guess.
All we're saying is give love a chance. I think
that's beautiful. I love that. Yeah. It's very nice,
Lennon. So, John, the White Sox are going to have a game tonight. We just don't know if they're going to have a pitcher or at least a starter. Looks like it could be a bullpen type game, and it looks like it could be maybe bring up some. I don't know what they're going to do. They haven't announced it. They haven't decided. It's just weird to go into a game against one of the best lineups in baseball without knowing who your starter is.
Yeah, the whole thing is weird with the opener and that, and maybe that's what they'll end up doing. I mean, ultimately, you know, it doesn't matter. They're not the wins and losses aren't going to matter this year. It's the progress of their kids. And overall, it's been a mixed scorecard. Obviously, Anderson's had a nice year. Moncada has shown some improvement. They've gotten Aloy up to the major leagues, so some positives. Giolito has been much, much better. Lopez has had moments, so I think that's basically the scorecard for the team. In terms of wins and losses, doesn't matter. Minnesota, maybe Cleveland will battle it out, and the other three teams in that division are rebuilding. I don't think there's any other way you can look at it.
John, you tweet about the Mets situation with Callaway, the manager, being in hot water and maybe down to his final days, perhaps. A lot of the seat getting hotter in New York. It's always hot, and the players now responding. What's his future? And if he is launched, what names will surface as speculative names?
Yeah, the future is definitely dicey. But yes, as of yesterday, I heard he was going to manage today. I think a lot of people were speculating that he was going to be let go Monday. They had that meeting, which somehow leaked, or they leaked it, whatever they did. It got out a week ago that, you know, we better start winning games. And in that time since then, they did win a couple games, but then they got swept by the Marlins, being one hit in one game, two hit in another game, just looked completely lifeless. And then Robbie Cano exacerbated things by not running hard on a comebacker with one out and a man on first and turned into a double play. And then after really not being benched, no repercussions, really not much, he didn't run on a ball that kind of hit the plate and rolled into fair territory and was turned into an easy double play because he thought it was foul. I mean, his excuse was he thought there were he miscalculated the number of outs in one case, and he thought it was going to be foul in another. I mean, that's not a good excuse. Doesn't look good. It looked bad. I mean, I don't think there was anything really terrible going on with the manager. I think he has generally the support of the coaches and the players, and would have been awfully quick to let him go. But people thought that today was going to be the day. That being said, he does appear to be on fairly thin ice. I think it's a competition between him and Davey Martinez, your old friend. They're with the Nats, and right now Callaway is closer to the door than Davey Martinez is. I'll say that.
It's interesting that Bryce Harper is coming into Chicago. Interesting only because I think a lot of people thought at some point he was going to be the manning an outfield position in Chicago, and it never came to fruition, and they never bid on him. And then he obviously started the season slow, and everybody's, what's wrong with him? And now he's hit a couple homers, and they're winning some games. And his old buddy Chris Bryant is on fire. And what do you make of him in Philly? Is he comfortable now? Is he, you know, I don't want to say that the slump's over, but it feels like the slump's over, doesn't it?
Yeah, he's going to have ups and downs. We saw last year he had 249, still got a $330 million contract to have. It's got big power, walks more than anybody in the league, also strikes out more than anybody in the league. I guess our assumption or thought that the Cubs were going to be big players. Obviously, the Cubs were very cognizant of the luxury tax. The decision is not made by friends. As much power as Chris Bryant may have, he can't decide who his teammates are. I'm sure he would have loved to have his friend from Las Vegas on the team, but that was not going to be the ultimate thing. The White Sox ended up being the team that really, and I know this was under the radar and late, that really did pursue him after they made their big pursuit for Machado, who did seem to be their first choice. But once that was done, they offered Harper, or suggested to Harper, at least a lot of times it's a question about the offer, that suggested to Harper that they would pay him about as much, maybe a little bit more, somewhere in that range, and ultimately he decided he wanted the guaranteed money, the biggest guarantee that he had out there, which was $330 million. In terms of his performance, I think as soon as they start shifting on him, he's no longer a 280 hitter, and he seems to be more like a 250 hitter, but he's got big power, walks a lot, brings a lot of energy, and, you know, I think in terms of the cachet, there is a value to that, and people in Philly are excited about it, and right now I think things are going well in Philly. Part of it's because the rest of the division has been rather crummy. The NL Central's been the good division. As you know, we've kind of miscalculated. I thought they'd both be good divisions. Turns out one's a very good division. The other one's pretty lousy.
John, before we let you go, obviously the Cubs get a lot of attention in this town, and they deserve it. You got they're in first place, and they've come back and all those things. The White Sox quietly have been competitive. They're 21-24. This is a big week for the White Sox. They get four against the Astros on the road. Then they go into Minnesota. At the end of this week, I think you'll have a better idea just how competitive maybe they are or they aren't. In your mind, outside of Chicago, how big of a week is this for the White Sox?
Yeah, outside of Chicago, I don't think people are looking at it, but I'm glad you brought that up. They have outperformed, and good for them. They've got some real nice performances from some of their kids. I think that's a bigger deal. I think there's a chance. I mean, I don't want to put it this way. It could be a rude awakening for them to play Houston's the best team in baseball. Minnesota, obviously, really good, too. I don't think they're going to catch them. I give them credit, though. Renteria's doing a nice job this year to have them this close to 500. I know they're in a weak division. Their schedule's probably weaker than most, but, I give them credit for giving a good effort this year and showing some great improvement. I'll be shocked if they're contending in September, but they do have good young players, and I will not be shocked if they're contending a year from now.
Great stuff, John. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, John.
All right, great talking to you guys.
You too.
That's John Heyman, MLB Network, of course, radio.com, Sports MLB Insider, and it's always fun to talk to John. Interesting. It's an interesting question that you asked, and yeah, I don't know that.
About the White Sox?
Yes.
Well, it's a big week. We're either going to know.
Don't you think, though, that there is a huge difference in class between Houston and Minnesota?
Well, not the way that they're playing this year. I mean, the Twins are to be taken seriously.
I'm not saying they're
not.
In
terms of roster, yes.
I think John's right. I think Houston's the best team in baseball.
I don't disagree with that.
And I think Minnesota is the team to beat in the Central.
But they're hot, and they're very good relative to who they've played this year. So My sense is that this is an opportunity for the White Sox to prove that they're more competitive than people are giving them credit for being.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.